This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Telmo, in the city. What are you doing, Telmo?
Well, I'm currently stocking up on maple syrup before the tariffs hit.
Oh.
I got a 2.5-year-old who's really into waffles these days, so I gotta make sure I'm stocked up on the good Canadian stuff before we have to start buying the second-tier Vermont maple syrup.
It's a good thought. It's a good plan. That's a good way to be a planner, because French toast is coming next for that kid, too.
A real quick aside, the best part about yesterday's tournament is once again hearing about how much Guru can ball all year, for him to prove otherwise in an actual physical basketball situation. He's probably listening right now. He's going to feel some type of way about it. Maybe next year, Goo. But anyways,
man.
To this Niners thing. Look, we heard it with Bosa. We heard it with Ayuk. Oh, just fans were like, just give him the bag. Give him whatever he wants. Give him the bag, right? And then it goes south, right? Bosa has 10 sacks and then 9 sacks, and he's still a factor, but not the way he was. And Ayuk, that just went nosedive completely south. And now people are like, well, the decisions the management's making. Here's the thing about Brock Purdy. We're talking about a franchise quarterback, right? And a franchise quarterback is like finding a wife or a spouse or a husband, whatever be it, right? You want to commit to that person. You can't bring the baggage from your failed relationships and your toxic exes and your crazy exes into that relationship, because it just won't work. So if you think that that person is the long-term person, which in the NFL, the face of the franchise, a quarterback, is that person, you have to just go into it in good faith and believe that that's the one and do whatever it takes to make that relationship successful. Because if you don't, if you go into it being petty about all the failed stuff in the past, it's not going to work anyways, and you're going to be back in the same situation, going through the same roster of quarterbacks, the same thing over and over. The Niners have a guy that's gone to an NFC championship, a Super Bowl. Last year, he wasn't a bum. He still played well with, like, almost no weapons. So they need to figure out how to get the deal done, how to give him some weapons, how to move forward, and that's it.
Well, Telmo, this is an interesting call, and thanks for doing it as always. Appreciate you. I don't know. I know we've sort of positioned it this way. I'm not trying to fully say that what the 49ers are potentially doing right now with Brock Purdy, if negotiations are indeed off to a rocky start, or if the two sides are far apart, which has been reported. I'm not saying they're necessarily just being reactive to Ayuk and Bosa the last two summers. Maybe they'd be doing this anyway, because this is the way the Niners behave. The Niners don't want to just be like, here's your deal, because we love you. Especially now, after the perception of losing a couple of deals. I don't even know if it's so much about the perception. I can tell you that I think it's their own perception that the Ayuk thing was awful. But they may be behaving this way either way. Either way. Like, the bottom line is, this is a really expensive deal, and the 49ers would like to save every dollar that they can. So I think that's why we're hearing what we're hearing. I don't really buy that the 49ers are, as Adam Schefter said, in some type of financial situation. No, they're not. They're fine. They're fine.
They're fine, but they're not in the spot that they would have been had they not paid Brandon Ayuk what they paid him, had they not done a Debo restructure and then went up and traded Debo. The fact that you traded Debo makes it a $32 million accelerated cap hit that hits you right now. So all that money you had, and last year during the year, they were number one in cap room. Well, now you get to the offseason, and all the contracts either roll over or don't roll over, and now you have the Debo cap hit that gets accelerated, and I'm looking at it from overthecap.com as they compute it, and you've got $28 million effective cap space, which is ahead of only about 15 teams. So you went from number one to kind of being square in the middle. And if you think about $28 million of effective cap space, well, Brock Purdy's going to eat up some of that. And I know his deal won't accelerate this year. If you sign him, his signing bonus will accelerate. And you can get some cap space by restructuring people like Kittle and Fred Warner and other contracts. And so you can create some cap space. But I do think they're in a little bit of a tougher spot cap-wise than they have been, and part of it is because of what you decided to do with Debo.
Yeah, one thing I would love to find out, because I'll openly tell you I don't know, when they talk about this, quote, financial situation, is it actually a cap problem or is it a cash flow problem? And these are two different things in the NFL. The cap is obviously the thing that you can manipulate and has to come up against a certain number that is mandated by the NFL. The cash flow is the actual money that goes out in signing bonuses. And so when you have these massive payoffs and restructures, Jed York has been right near or at the top of the league the last few years in how much cash he's been willing to dole out to these great players to have these Super Bowl-type runs. Well, you come off of a 6-11 year, and now you've got to potentially do the biggest cash handout of all because it's your quarterback. Jed might be in a mood to be like, how about less of that? And perception is it's more about that cash flow than it is about cap. But I'd love, as this offseason unfolds, we'll get a little bit more expert testimony, if you will, on that, because that's not me. I'm not an expert on the inner workings of the Niners finances.
Nor am I. And I do think that cash wise, you're right. Jed York has been very forthright in doing whatever it took to pay the cash now and have the cap hit be down the road. And you have so many restructures and you have so many voidable years and all the other contract mumbo jumbo that fans don't mostly care about. But I do look at the dead cap number that you have right now, and just looking at overthecap.com, they have the most dead cap money of any team in the NFL. And that is something salary cap wise, you can't offset that with a cash payment because, for example, Debo Samuel, you can't cash him out one time. He's no longer a Niner when the trade goes through. So that dead cap money, that just hits your salary cap. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't spread that out over multiple years. That is the chickens coming home to roost. And so I do think when you look at that number and the base salary cap, according to this, is $279 million, and your dead cap number is $66 million, which is about a fourth of your overall cap. So about a quarter of your overall salary cap is dead money, money that you aren't going to get anything for. So I do think for the first time, you actually do have somewhat of a cap constraint. And, you know, the cash is the cash. Jed York's got enough money. He can spend his money if he wants, but he doesn't have to.
That's right. And 10% of the team goes up for sale as well, which makes you scratch your head when you think about all this as well.
Good point.
Like, again, that's a cash flow thing. So it's not like Jed's not having dinner tonight. I just don't know. Like, there must be some sort of discomfort with the numbers that he's been doling out over the last couple of years. And then to suddenly be faced with 6-11 and your quarterback, that'll exacerbate the situation. Let's go to Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. First of all, I would like to thank the men and women of 95.7 The Game, the greatest sports talk radio station in the entire USA, for putting together, you know, that event yesterday, the knockout. I mean, for fans of myself, just being able to be on that court in the very house that Wardell Steph Curry made and built. Hey, what a feeling! I mean, it's totally priceless just to be on that court, you know, getting up shots. And it's early process. I think it's a safe bet that I will never, ever again experience that in my lifetime. And before I go, you guys are talking about the 49ers. I think I'm going to be right about this one. They're stuck between a hard place and a rock because they are down in a hole, feeling so small, down in a hole, losing control.
It's so good, Jonathan.
It's so good.
Jonathan,
I want to fly.
Jonathan is not only on point with the lyrics today, but he was hitting the chords.
He was. A little Allison Chains there.
Yeah,
down
Allison
in the hole.
Chains.
Strong.
And what a feeling. Don't forget about that off at the start. And I asked Jonathan personally yesterday. Yeah, make sure you put together some ditties based on today.
Right.
And Jonathan was there. And Jonathan, don't say that you'll never be on that floor again, because with how much you listen, I'm going to put my money on you being there again next year.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he got one of the late at-large wild card berths, and I'm not sure if he survived his heat or not.
I don't think I saw. He wasn't in the final.
No, was he
with us, Grandy? No, he was not in the final.
Yeah.
And
Grandy would know. Grandy had his eyes on all the finalists. He was sizing up everybody.
I think Grandy has been to everybody's house within the last month or so to sort of assess people's strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly.
My God. Absolute intensity from this man. It was crazy because I was in his heat too. And we went through the last probably three or four rounds of the opening heat with him right behind me.
And he hip checked me one time.
I did give you a little, hey, how you doing? That's because we're friends. And I was walking by you, and you do what guys do when they walk by friends. It's like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, give him a little something, you know what I mean? Old man basketball. But anyway, point being is, there's it's not like you're a heavy breather, but you could just feel his presence. Very intense being around you at this event,
the
Mark.
Champ.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I
can't remember the listener's name, but he came up to me while we were shooting around before the event started, and he said, oh, hey, you're Grandy, right? You won last year. I was like, I got it done last year. And he asked me what place I was going to come in this year. I told him, well, first, of course.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, please, of course you're not going to come in first. And then after I had won, he came up and he apologized after the fact.
I mean, no apology necessary, but it's not like if the Boston Celtics win the title again this year. It's more unlikely than that. To have the same person win a 65-person knockout tournament, that's just stupid.
It's UConn winning the NCAA tournament back-to-back years.
No, it's not. It's a little bit more unlikely than that.
It's more like the Kentucky Derby, where you get 20 horses and you break from the gate, and it's just an absolute mishmash of who knows what. And, you know, Grandy could have had one bad free throw and had somebody behind him just make it, and he's out.
Yeah.
You know? He misses, the person behind him makes it, and it's just over.
That's what happened to Willard. One of the few times you missed, I made it right
and
after.
And by the way, I made my putback, but he's quick.
Yeah.
He did, that's your thing. You go after, because there was one where you missed, and I made my shot, but you had already put your layup in. You're very, very
It's the strategy.
Yeah, that's the strategy.
Very efficient.
He goes intensely after his miss to put it back in. You can't get it up in time.
I caught a stray from Goo.
Cut that. Pause. Anyway,
I caught a stray from Goo this morning. I was listening as they began their show, and Goo starts, as only Goo would, is this me being a hater? and then he says, but Grandy, he was jumping, and he was leaning forward on his shots.
Yeah.
That's the strategy. You get closer to the rim so
nothing,
you can get your put
there's
back.
There's nothing illegal about that.
Congratulations to Grandy on just being really good at the niche event of knockout.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what Shasky said this morning.
Are you good at anything else?
Nope, just knockout.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to think I'm somewhat naturally athletic.
According to most of the hosts on this station, this is the only thing he's good at.
You got to be good at making a turkey sandwich.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Arguably
5 days a week.
Just out of repetition, I would think that by now you're pretty
good
at it.
Right now, yeah.
10,000 hours, right?
He's good at taking care of his teeth. We know that.
Well.
I'm laughing because.
What's the office appointment on Friday, Dave?
The second you said that.
Dentist next week.
I look over at him and he kind of does lips together and does a little teeth lick. That made you very uncomfortable. There's the ground.
It's really inside baseball.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
Too inside.
It is.
Anyway.
Right. Anyway.
Anyhow.
Here's the other thing that, to me, strikes a little bit of fear as a 49er fan. We haven't played this one yet. This is also from Schefter, also on McAfee. And on this one, Aiyuk is the central figure. But listen to what he says.
Well, again, I think that the 49ers in their particular financial situation are open to listening on just about anybody, right? And so if there's a team out there that is willing to take on the Brandon Aiyuk contract with him coming off the torn ACL, I'm sure they would listen, absolutely. But again, you've got to find a team that's willing to take on the player with the injury, with the contract. That's not a simple thing to do. Look, if there's no knee injury, it's a simple deal. But because there's a knee injury, because he may miss the first half of next season, and there are questions about, you know, when he'll get back next year, there are a whole host of pending issues. But the Niners, again, for them to play in the free agency sandbox, they're going to have to find ways to clear out salary, whether that's through Brandon Aiyuk or Jordan Mason or any other player that they don't bring back or let go. They have to find ways to get money to help field the kind of roster that they want. So if an offer comes in on Brandon Aiyuk and there's a team out there that's willing to take on that particular situation, I'm sure they would be open to listening to it.
Okay. The idea that they're open to listening on Brandon Aiyuk is not brand new. But what he said there at the beginning, where it's like basically they'll take a call about anybody on the roster right now. Now, I don't think the Niners are going into some sort of fire sale, but good Lord, it sounds like they want someone to think that that's what's about to happen. Again, the question I always ask when you hear these reports, why does this reporter know this? Why did someone tell Adam Schefter this so that he could say it on the Pat McAfee show?
Because they're open for business. And I do think that the sentiment that he's delivered now in both of those cuts is they are not in financial cap hell, but they are open to a deal that would help them create some financial room so they could go out there and do the things that they need to do. Because if you end up drafting 12 or 13 players, that in and of itself is going to eat up some of the cap that you have right now.